Grow My Cleaning Company teaches owners of cleaning companies just like you how to grow your company, make more money, and finally take charge of your financial future and your life. This podcast is about automating and creating systems that give you time and money freedom so you can grow like crazy without losing control. Since this is totally free, if you're getting tons of value, want to support us and make sure that you get more of the good stuff, subscribe, rate, and review to this podcast today. Now, on to the show. All right. Welcome, everybody. So excited to see you today. This is a super extra special version of our little conversation because my favorite person in the whole world, that's right, Cleaning Nation, someone I love even more than you, my beautiful bride is here. She's awesome. She would be very angry if I told you this, but she did her hair for this. She was like, oh, I got to do my hair. And look at her. She looks fantastic. Come on. Feel free to make nice comments. So help me if you make a mean comment, I will find you. Anyway, today we are talking about spouse and cleaning. Do your spouse and cleaning company hate each other? Let me see if I can put that on the top. Like, do your... all right, I'm typing, baby. You say something interesting while I try and type that out. Introduce yourself, my baby love.
Well, I am Natalie Campion and Mike's other half. For those of you that aren't familiar with me, I handle all of the back end things behind the scenes, manage all the Facebook group, but typically like to hide behind the curtain and not be in the public view, which I am now doing.
It is so true. She hates all this stuff. But anyway, last broadcast, people wanted Natalie. I think people always want Natalie. I just didn't discover and admit it until last broadcast. So we brought her on. If it goes well, we'll have her back. So you guys have to let us know if you like the Natalie and Mike show. I guess you could be really hurtful and explain how you would prefer just the Natalie show. But you know, I guess I'll deal with that as it goes. So, if you feel guilty when you're supposed to be when you're working and you feel guilty because you think you should be spending time with your family, or you're spending time with your family or your spouse and relaxing and you feel guilty because you think you should be working, you are in the right spot. I've been there. My wife has, I think, hated me being there. I get frustrated. Even sometimes she's working for our company. I feel like I don't want to say I can't get her attention, but she's doing all sorts of stuff that, you know, drives me nuts. So if you've ever felt guilty when you're with your family that you should be working, or felt guilty when you're working that you should be with your family, you're in the right spot. We are going to talk about that. Before you jump in, any words of wisdom or anything you want to contribute, my love?
No, but I think there's definitely a balance that you need to find with working. And it's difficult, especially when it's your baby, your family, and you feel guilty because it's just as much of a child to you as an entrepreneur that your real kids. And it's difficult to pull away from that.
I couldn't agree more. And to start off, I wanted to share I don't want to say a quick story, but just some background on me that I think I've shared before on the podcast that some of you all might care about. So when I'm 44 now, I'm an old man. And I know, like, you're like, how did you get this young, pretty wife? She thinks I have money. So be cool, guys. Don't tell her any different. But, I mean, nothing. but when I started, as some of you guys know, I started my first bought my first cleaning company when I was 20. Either 22 or 23, I can't remember, and probably spent the next decade, or at least the next 7 years till I was 30, working my tail off. And there was a lot of times I wouldn't be home, and even when I was home, my body was there, but mentally or emotionally, I really was still with the business, wondering about how I could grow it, what I could be doing, and all that good stuff. And that contributed to my wife leaving and getting divorced, and me realizing that all that work that I had done to build a company, to make money and to be successful was in context with my family, right? So my wife and not Natalie, by the way, Natalie and I, this is 15 years ago because I'm old. And Natalie and I have been married for 8 years. So all that to say, I realized that all the work that I'd been doing was in context with my family. At the time, I had a little guy who was going into first grade, so a young kid. And I realized all the money and things that I wanted were in context of buying a home or having security or things that were related to my family when my family was gone, or at least my wife. And obviously, we had to split time with my son, Caleb. It was awful. Divorce is just the worst. If you have the opportunity to opt out, please opt out. Anyway, so that was, for me, the cost of... Partly, you know, not obviously there's other things, I can't blame it exclusively on that, but that had a big part in me kind of checking out of the relationship and checking into this business. So if you're there, hopefully not there, but you know, on the road to that, you're in the right spot. We want to talk you through that and kind of work through you know, what kind of works and what doesn't work. Any thoughts or feedback, baby, before we move on?
No, I'm ready to go.
This is where you can tell them the truth, all the crap stuff I do. Here's your opportunity to be like, he sounds great on the podcast, guys, but he's a terrible human being.
I've got this list.
When she starts pulling out charts and graphs and she's got a whole thing, I'm like, wait a second, I haven't seen that before.
It's all on my blog, whyismiketerrible.com.
Okay, good. Now we have to buy that because someone's going to buy it and say terrible. All right. So some of the beliefs I had were not helping me. And I wanted to go with some of those false beliefs that were really killing me. And then we can talk about what beliefs we need to replace it with to help you be successful and what I've used to be successful both personally and professionally. So first and foremost, so many people, part of the reasons I love, but was a little stressful about dealing with owners of cleaning companies is you guys are not afraid to work, which I love about you. That work ethic is so much fun to coach and help and we can make it work. The flip side of that is a lot of you believe the more we work, the more successful we'll be. Or even worse, the more I clean, the more successful I'll be, right? I can't hire employees because I can't afford it, right? Then who, you know, we got to realize employees aren't an expense. They're really an asset that should make us more money, right? That would be like saying, you know, if I buy inventory for my business, I can't afford it. Well, shoot, what are you going to sell then, right? So, and you go, well, I could, you know, make things myself. Well, I suppose you could, but while you're making these things or cleaning these business, who's running your business, right? So we want to make sure that we as owners are doing high value work, not low value work. Number two is work requires you and only you and your family's just kind of a pain in the butt or a sideshow, right? That's another killer belief that that we live to serve the business. And it's funny because we start having this business thinking it's going to give us time, it's going to give us freedom, it's going to give us all these amazing things. And then we wake up, you know, months or years into it and realize this thing is firmly taking control. It is in charge. We are serving it, and our time, our money, our relationships, our passion, sometimes our health, we'll sacrifice all of it at the altar of having a business that is successful or having financial freedom. What are your thoughts? Talk to me from a spouse perspective of an arguably workaholic sometimes.
Yeah, I definitely think that, you know, especially when we're passionate about the business and about ideas, we definitely cross that boundary of, well, this is work and this is our marriage and let's separate it. So because we get so caught up in it, we begin to meld everything and it becomes this 24-hour a day cycle, which is great for a period, but if you can't limit that and actually, like, you know, create times where, okay, we're just going to be husband and wife, or we're going to spend time with the family outside of it, I think we just get really myopic and we can't be creative. We can't have new ideas and new influences come in because we just get so hyper-focused on this one thing. We forget to fill ourselves up with the experiences and that rest and relaxation that allows you to kind of like come up with a really cool creative ideas and problem solving. And then what ends up happening is that we get totally burnt out and we hate everything. And then it all falls apart anyway, because we just didn't find that balance and it just all becomes work and then you just hate it.
Well said. This is why she is the better looking and smarter Campion, not just the better looking. Yeah, so I couldn't agree with that more. Another thing that we kind of run into, and this is super false belief that we coach through all the time, is if your customers can't get a hold of you, they're going to quit, right? Or if my employees can't get a hold of you, we're going to come back and the whole thing's a parking lot, right? We've got to get over that. We're going to talk to you how to replace that belief and how to deal with that. Or even finally, when it comes to spouses, and I get this a lot when I'm coaching, oh, my spouse isn't part of the business. There is no such thing, right? If you live in the United States, certainly, and probably lots of other countries, we got this thing called what's it called when you get divorced and you're half owner, right? Whether they own it or not. What's it called, baby? Don't know this too quickly.
Like a prenup type thing or like.
Not a prenup. Just if I forget what it's called in Arizona, but if I own something and my wife owns it.
Or something like that. Or yeah,
what it is. But the reality is it doesn't matter. If we're married, what's mine is yours.
That I don't have that like holstered, like, oh yeah. Right. The section article, this, and this. Not that I've researched it or anything.
Yeah, if you had six months, we really want to understand that our spouse is a integral part of what we do. And as a coach, I have just learned we have spousal support that is huge. Even whether they're in the business officially or have a full-time job or whatever their involvement is, if the spouse isn't supporting, you can forget about it. So first and foremost, we got to make sure we are honoring our spouses and putting our lives and our spouses first, as opposed to the business first, because any common sense person is going to go, if that thing is above me, I'm going to start resenting it. So we want to make sure that we don't give our spouses the opportunity to do that. And second, that they're super supportive of us. I don't even take clients into our program that this both spouses aren't supportive, because it's just such an important thing. So, all right, back to, if your customers can't get a hold of you, they're going to quit. If your employees can't get a hold of you, they're going to make terrible decisions and burn the place down. Let's transition from that into the beliefs that are actually going to serve you and help you. Systems need to be available 24/7 for your customers and for your employees. Okay. So when I tell people you can't be available 24/7, you've got to have boundaries. The next logical question is, well, what happens if some, you know, if a customer calls me and I don't pick up the phone, they're going to go to the next person. Well, that's close to the truth, right? The worst lies are the ones that have a lot of truth in them. There's just one little piece that's off. If your customer calls and someone, some competent person or system doesn't jump in and start helping them with their needs, they're absolutely going to go on somewhere else. But you having to be that person is crazy talk. I mean, think about it this way. This works with doctors or with contractors. You know, if I'm looking for a heart surgeon and I go to set an appointment and his lady's like, he's open, wide open, not an appointment for weeks. You want to come in on Tuesday at midnight? He'll show up. I am not feeling confident that this guy's going to handle what I got going on with my heart. I wouldn't hire someone to do my water heater if they were that booked, right? The good guys and gals are like, hey, we're, you know, I got, you know, 2 weeks from Tuesday at noon, I can maybe see you. So when you start positioning yourself as the guy or the gal that's like, yeah, call me anytime, here's my cell, day or night, blah, blah, blah. I love you guys. I serve you guys at a massive level. And trust me, I don't have you call me 24/7 and you still want my help. So we want to make sure that we're working out a way that your customer, you're positioning yourself as a consultant, someone that adds value to the conversation, not as a slave who can be like, they yell chip, chip, chip. And you're like, you're there, right? What are your thoughts, baby?
Yeah. Well, the other part of that is, what happens if something happens to you, right? So if they're like, well, I've got a dinner party, or I've got a big event, or I've got to move in, move out, and you've got the flu, now they've got to find somebody new that they don't know or they don't trust, and the whole thing falls apart. So really, it sounds like you're giving them great service by being there available for them 24/7. But in reality, you're kind of hogtying them or hamstringing them to your schedule. So if something happens to you, or if you, God forbid, want to take a vacation and enjoy life, your customers are really pissed because there's no backup. Like, you're it. So you're really giving them a huge leg up by having those systems in place and not being the go-to guy.
Couldn't agree more. That is, I'm going to retire and have my wife do all this work, because she is so much better at saying this stuff than I am. You're absolutely right. It is that's exactly the situation you put yourself in. And then the flip side is, okay, fine, maybe I could get systems. And again, we're not saying to ignore your customers, right? We're saying to make sure that you have other people or systems taking care of them, taking excellent care of them. But you're going to think through what process needs to happen, right? If I answered the phone, what would I say? What questions would I ask? How do I deal with that? We write it down, systematize it, so we can train other people to take them through that process. You don't have to be there. The flip side is, what about employees? They're going to have questions, right? And they do have questions. The problem is, so many of us love that Superman or Superwoman role, which is, hey, you call me and I will take care of it, right? So if I'm at dinner with my lovely bride and we've gone out and we haven't got to really hang out all day, and you call, I'm dropping everything with her, and what do you need? And I'm going to solve that problem. And it makes us feel great, right? Because we can jump in, solve a problem, and fix it and move on with our lives. The problem is, we're training them that they're stupid and we're smart, which is fun for the first 6 months because everybody's calling us and we feel like we're bing, bang, bing, knocking out problems and life is good, until 3 years in, we can't take a vacation, we can't take a nap, we can't have dinner, we can't do anything without some numbskull calling us. So the opposite is, we need to train our employees to think for themselves and core values. We talk about this a lot, right? For me, my core values are have fun, make money, be real, and help out. Have fun, make money, be real, and help out. And the reason I share those is because we had our entire company with dozens of employees running based on those core values. And if they made a decision that was in line with those, they didn't need me, right? So we train them to start thinking for themselves and start using the core values to make decisions, as opposed to depending on me. And you were involved with companies we had with employees that ran that way. What's your take on how that shook out, baby?
Yeah, I really think that we had amazing employees. Every time we had a group of people that were just a joy to work with, and they really loved the environment that we created. And part of that is not just having that environment, but attracting the people that are attracted to that, right? Like, if you're going to have somebody that's a sad sack and one of your core values isn't being a sad sack, that person's going to be repelled. And naturally, people that are like-minded, have more camaraderie, they get along better, they like coming into work, and then they can make decisions based on that same kernel of truth. And I just wanted to mention, and you might not want me to share the video or the photo, but talking about kind of like how you're like, I want $1 million company. And everybody says that, I want $1 million company, but they don't even think about that end goal. Like, well, what does that look like? And they're like, I want $1 million company, but it's like, well, great. Now you've set it up to where you're working 100 hours a week and you hate it. And the other day, remember we were kind of messing around with some fancy cars and we decided to sit into a Lamborghini. And I feel like this Lamborghini is like the $1 million company. It's going to be so awesome. I can't wait. And then we got into it and realized, oh my God, this is the worst. This is just so uncomfortable and awful. And so people build these massive businesses without really thinking of the end goal and what they want their life to look like. And it just falls off the rails. And it's kind of like you sitting in that tiny little Lamborghini, super uncomfortable. And I couldn't imagine if somebody had spent $250,000 on this thing just to be like a slave to it.
Yeah, definitely share that picture because I look ridiculous.
I have it here.
Guy. Oh, you got to post it up. You can't, no one can see that. You got to post the thing. All right. So the beliefs that we need to get rid of are, I've got to do all the work. And the more I work, the more successful I'll be. Because the reality of that is we're limited. And at some point we have to sleep, have time with family, and the work's got to mean something. And that meaning comes from being away from work. Also, we need to realize that this business, every business, exists solely to serve us and our family. As soon as we get confused and start thinking that we exist to serve it and our time, our money, our passion, our relationships, our physical health are all on the table to be sacrifice for this business, we got a problem. Next, we got to understand that we have to have systems to deal with customers and employees when they come to you. And those systems can be core values based, they can be employee based, or they can just be systems where if this, then that. But you do not need to be in the middle of that. The reality is the systems are going to do the work. And the reality is the folks I coach, most people do less than 5 hours of real focused work per week because we're too busy answering questions, I got a customer, I got an employee, there's a problem. We want to be Superman, just go put out all these different fires, but we don't get anything real done. So the true belief we need to get is working on our business as opposed to in it and creating those systems to free us up. That is the most valuable work that we do. So we want to start training our employees and training our customers, frankly, right? When you're like, my customers would never do that. They need me to clean. They need me to pick up the phone. Well, that's because you train them, right? I've got an amazing business with all of you amazing people. And I pick up the phone when I want to pick up the phone, right? If I'm out with my baby and we're having dinner, A, you guys don't have my cell phone number. B, if you did, I wouldn't pick up, right? Not because I don't love you guys. And trust, and it goes the other way, right? If I'm on a one-on-one call or on a coaching call with you guys and my little guy Christian's running around who I love playing with and he's being adorable and sounding cute, I ignore him completely. So we've got to really make sure that we're focusing on one thing at a time and that thing's the right thing. We start trying to do a bunch of things and don't really make a distinction between right and wrong. We can work too much, ruin our relationships, make our spouse hate us and eventually or our business and eventually us. So the benefits to taking charge of our time and really understanding what the important things are and what the important things are not and focusing on one thing at a time, right? Everyone that says I'm a good, multitasker is a liar. There's no such thing as a good multitasker. You can switch your attention and do one thing at a time. You can stop this and go do that, but you're really just switching really quickly. You're not multitasking. What were you gonna say, baby?
Oh, I said, no, I am a very good multitasker.
See, I'm gonna opt not to comment. I'll let you guys in the comments.
We never disagree about that ever.
What's that?
We never disagree about that ever.
Oh my gosh. So true. She's constantly trying to convince me that she could do two things at once well. And I'm constantly trying to convince her she cannot, not just you, but anyone in the world. So we'll let you guys weigh in and say what you think. But the benefits are to eliminating these false beliefs and embracing these true beliefs of understanding what the right thing is, having boundaries around your time, having systems and core values run your company, and you run the systems and core values as opposed to you making every decision. This is what allows you to scale. Certainly, whatever level you're at, if you want to scale more, we need to empower more people. And we always got to recognize that no matter how good you are of a cleaner, you can't be as good as 10 or 20 cleaners that are 80% as good as you. No matter how good you are as a manager, you can't be as good as 5 managers managing on your behalf. No matter how good you are at whatever, you can't be as good at that as when you're doing it part-time, in your spare time, when you get a chance, as opposed to someone who that's their entire focus. So this ability to focus and really put boundaries around our time is what allows you to scale. It is what allows you, and my wife can come in and tell me I'm full of crap, as is her custom. This is also what will allow you to run a business without your wife hating you, unless you're a terrible person, right? Natalie hates me for a lot of other reasons, but hopefully not because I'm a workaholic. And you can enjoy doing one thing at a time. I'm really enjoying being here with you guys. If I was worried about whatever I got going on, the call I got after this or what just happened or anything else, right? I try to shut down my email, my Facebook, so I don't have a bunch of things beeping up and trying to get my attention. I can really relax and enjoy doing one thing at a time, the most important thing at a time. Any thoughts, feedback, rude remarks, comments, Natalie?
No, I mean, I completely agree with that, although I don't do it all the time. It definitely allows you to focus. I found that every time I get interrupted, it's not just this 2-minute task that, you know, takes up my time. It's that 5 minutes that I need to get into that task. Like, let's say, this little email pops up and then I pay attention to that. And then I deal with the email and then it takes me 10 minutes to kind of get back into the groove. And then before you know it, I've spent 5 hours just kind of multitasking and getting maybe one or two things half done. But if I can actually just kind of like lock it down, close everything, kind of space that time out, then I find myself actually getting the work done much more efficiently, much more quickly, and much more effectively.
Couldn't say it better myself. And for everyone on the podcast, when she said she finds herself multitasking, she did the big, huge, obvious air quote. So if you would like help creating a business that can scale, something that's automated that will allow you to work reasonable hours, not sacrifice your relationship with your spouse, your kids, your health, any of that stuff, let's jump on a call. Go to growmycleaningcompany.com/talk. I will personally walk through with you to take a look at where your business is at, where you want to be, and help you come up with a plan to get there without driving yourself nuts. My lovely bride, if you would put that in the chat, that would be awesome. Because if you expect me to talk and type, that is way beyond my capacity as a brain. That said, so again, go to mycleaningcompany.com/talk. If you'd like to apply for a time for you and I to walk through your business, where you're at now, where you want to be, and come up with a plan. That said, especially on this call, make sure that your spouse and or your partner is on the phone, right? It doesn't make sense for us to kind of scheme a plan out in the corner for your spouse's life, right? So we want to make sure that everybody, all the stakeholders that this is important to are on the call so we can get massive value and they can give their feedback, right? Like I promise you, if I was going to do something pivotal that was really going to change the course of this business, even though Natalie is always like, whatever you want, whatever decision you make, it's fine. You know, she's amazing when it comes to that. I'm smart enough to know I have gaps in my vision, right? There's things I can't see, people I trust that I shouldn't, and vice versa. And her feedback and kind of perspective, right? Because we're a lot of times, especially if our spouses aren't involved in the business on a day-to-day basis, they have this perspective of how we're feeling. And they just, it's so funny when I do this coaching, I'll talk to the owner and they'll give me feedback and then I'll ask the spouse so I can get the truth, like what actually the answer is, because the spouse really oftentimes can see things that the owner just can't because of this perspective. So if you want to do that, go to growmycleaningcompany.com/talk, apply for a time for us to hang out. Natalie, I'm going to leave you with the closing words because you were amazing.
First, sorry, I can't put in anything where I'm at. My little like screen doesn't let me do that.
Well, you talk, I'll put it in. Go ahead.
closing thoughts. It is super important to have your spouse support you, whether they're in the business or not. Just having that support and knowing that somebody that loves you and cares about you and probably knows you better than you know yourself is behind you is instrumental, right? Like even if there are a lot of things that Mike does in the business that, you know, obviously I don't have a lot of experience in, but just being able to be that sounding board and that support and knowing like, okay, this is okay. I have that support. And if I make a mistake or if I fail, at least we did it together. And I think that that's crucial. And sometimes your spouse knows something about you that you don't even know. And it can make a huge difference in all the decisions that you make. And so don't miss out on that really, really important tool that you have.
All right. Couldn't have said it better myself, my love. That's it for us. Hope you got lots and lots of value. Look forward to catching up with you guys again. Feel free to go to growmycleaningcompany.com if you want to subscribe to the podcast, to get the YouTube channel, join our Facebook group, anything you need. It's all there, growmycleaningcompany.com. Thanks for hanging out. We will talk to you soon.
Thanks for tuning in to today's show. If you're fired up, ready to grow, and want to see if you have what it takes to work with us at Grow My Cleaning Company, here's what I want you to do right now. Go to growmycleaningcompany.com/talk. That's growmycleaningcompany.com/talk to book an appointment to speak with me personally. I'm going to jump on the phone with you to get you crystal clear on where you are now, where you want to be, and how to get you there. Don't walk around in the dark any longer. If you are serious about growing your cleaning company, it's time to finally get the systems in place that you need to grow. We've helped hundreds of owners of cleaning companies not only grow their business and their personal freedom, but give back to their community as well. If that's what you're looking for, head over to growmycleaningcompany.com/talk and book a time to talk with me personally. I can't wait to get to know you and your business.